All right. Is there anything on the script that we need to take care of?
Well, I wrote down all of the notes for the segments that I'm doing, you know, all the stuff about the character of the week and the boosted list. I am going to talk very briefly about the essentials that are boosted for the event, because I figure that's worth just giving a little bit of a quick once over for. There were one or two things I was going to make real quick comments about, and just a couple of things. And then, of course, I've got a metric butt ton of tokens to open. I don't know how exactly we want to handle that. What I will do is I will, when you all start opening tokens, I will start blitzing through my 27 tokens. And then I can just give a report. And when it comes time for me to open, I can open my four fan favorites. My goal is to champ Dazzler before Craig does.
I heard that.
How so? Are we good to go there, Ian? Do you want me to try and talk about it a little bit? What do you want to do? Okay.
People seem to enjoy when I fail, so.
Hey, Ian, just for you, I got like another paper for Dora. I might have to wear it back because I can't pack it. Well, I just don't have any space. It'll get all crushed.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to open it up if we're all good. Aha, there we go. I was wondering who was going to join first.
Are we still having echo issues?
I think a little bit.
Which I haven't figured out, but I got...
No, Grinch, nobody was talking. There's too much going on in the world. We're all confused.
So wait, can he hear us? Wait, the room's open. They're supposed to hear us.
Yes.
Okay, good. I was like, oh, what's happening? Not again, my heart.
Ain't that the truth, Grinch? We just, parts of the state just finished drying out, and now more rain.
What do you mean finished drying out?
It's only a Category 3. It'll only wreck Florida. You'll be safe.
Our state hasn't finished drying out yet, and we didn't get a hurricane.
Boo for Craig's references. Let's just start the show. Where's my script? I found what I needed.
I sure. We'll just wing it. So, you know, whatever. Let's wait for this stupid truck to drive away that I'm blaring his engine outside my window.
Okay. Greetings, true believers, and welcome to the 162nd installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3 podcast, the world's foremost listener interactive podcast about Marvel Puzzle Quest. I am SneakyBeat15. You can call me Ian. With me, as always, is Chaos72. That's Ray. We are the co-founders of the Puzzle Warriors Alliance. And this week, in lieu of Craig, we have a very special guest. The D'Artagnan to our three musketeers, the Doug to our wolf pack, is none other than everybody's favorite Microsoft Paint expert, UNC Samurai.
Well, thank you all for having me on the this week's edition of the Scott Summers Appreciation Hour.
That'll teach Craig for not being here.
That character is great. So this is the week covering October 10th through the 17th. 2018. This week, your Deadpool dailies, you will be receiving a black Bullseye, a red Captain America, a green Sentry, a green Punisher, a purple Blade, a red Wolverine, a black Human Torch, and a red Colossus. one day away from sweet, sweet Scott Summers. Scott Summers. Poor Scott Summers. Oh, Cyclops. He seems nice. Anyway, 5-day, 4-star crash of the Titans.
Right, that really now took me by surprise. Sorry, I was not ready. Okay. In any way.
Is Devil Dino still going on? Is he still chewing his way through Squirrel Girl?
No, that ended yesterday. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was, I assume everybody completed that with little effort. That represented little to no challenge. It was a nice, easy win.
Yeah, totally agree.
Howard's up today. Let me check my infographic. Uh-oh. Doesn't look good for me. But no, it's fine. 4-4-3. I'll just pump some ISO into him and he'll be fine. He fights Big Pun.
And he's got invisibility, so you're good.
Yeah, I did it today, and even though my board was just littered with red and black, I managed to fight my way through it. The biggest thing is, go into it assuming you will fire your green once and be done with it, because you're better off denying him the green, because that green can fire off an AoE that can get past your invisibility. So you're better off just sacrificing that to play the slow game.
So deny green is the key?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say that's probably true, but I mean, I do have him champed, but I didn't even pay attention to anything. I just made some matches and won, so I think you have a really good shot at it, Ian.
Yeah, I'm not too pessimistic. We'll see. I might even be able to get another Howard cover here before I have to face the event that's coming up here in a day or two, isn't it? The free Howard cover during his Webbed Wonder event?
Yeah, it should be. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're currently on, because the first sub was 2 days. And this, so if you're in slice 4, second node ends tonight. So theoretically, this, like, I don't know what slice you all typically play, but starting this evening. I'm sorry?
I didn't know they had numbers, but I play the 11 p.m. one.
Yes, so you're in the same one I am. So once that flips tonight after 11, you can start playing your way towards a free Howard cover.
Oh, great. Okay. And at 4-4-3, it's nothing but meat, so I'll be good, confident. And then following that, there is the brand new Taskmaster versus. Is that the question?
That is the question.
Yeah. Man,
what a good character he is.
We don't know who he's fighting, so I threw the question up there.
That's fine. It worked out fine. I see that you've got a almost formidable Taskmaster. Good on you, Samurai.
I'll talk about that a little bit when you talk about his shield training. But yeah, that fourth black cover saved my rear end today.
Wow.
Yeah, only been able to get 3 myself, so I don't know. That's a really quick turnaround to have a crash on a character. So we'll
one advantage is if it holds out like the other two, you know, typically you play the against a crash opponent at level 270, but for the limited characters, they seem to set that down to 222. So it's manageable. I think the trick is to probably set your black to Moon Silver Blades. And, you know, if he's level 222, the opponent's probably going to have somewhere between about 12 to 15,000 health, which means it'll take 3 to 4 blades at one cover to finish him off. Now, the nice thing is Moonsilver targets a random opponent, so that's your ideal black for his crash, because he's only going to be facing one opponent.
Right. The infographic also tells me, am I the only one who watched the Khabib versus Conor McGregor fight?
I did not, so
I saw the fallout the next morning.
Mm. The fight itself was total domination. At no point did I ever say, wow, Conor really took that round, or, ooh, he looks like he might win this fight. It was just Khabib just ground him into the ground the whole time. And the fallout was, I was confused when I was watching it, and then I read what happened, and I was like, nah, that's still inappropriate. I realized that his sparring partner called you some pretty despicable things, and that you heard him very clearly, but I feel like regardless of what he said, you're not allowed to go punch him in the face. He's just a spectator.
I had no idea of the fallout, so.
the Khabib leapt out of the cage, ran into the audience, and started punching McGregor's sparring partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All it needed was a little Jim Ross.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it might have been a hoax. But we will see. So anyway, Story events. Strange Sights has wrapped up. Webbed Wonder is happening right now, as we just discussed. You can go grab a quick Howard cover if you'd like here in the next couple hours. You get some Magnetos out of that. You get a Taskmaster out of that. And placement will get you a Nebula and a Gray Suit. Shield training is going on. The White Queen and Peggy Carter and Four-Star Wasp is still going on. I hear Samurai had a lot of success. I happened into my first two Emma Frost covers like a day ago. So I got to grab a couple tokens out of that, but I did do fine with Peggy and Janet through their notes.
Mm.
So you're drunk on Taskmasters now.
Well, I managed to get through the third node. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull any more covers to try node four. I'm about 15 levels short. But let me tell you something. I'll talk about Iron Spider when we get to the boosted segment, because spoiler alert, he's boosted this coming week. He is a nightmare one versus one, because every single match he makes he makes web tiles. And so you have to be very clever in how you approach that match, that particular shield node. It took me four or five tries. If he gets any amount of red, you're not going to survive his Umblada death move. But that was one of the toughest matches I have dealt with since Gambit got nerfed and PvP got tolerable again.
Speaking of PvP, Doctor Strange, his event's happening. You get a Taskmaster out of that one. Did you get Taskmaster out of that one?
I got the Taskmaster, because Taskmaster finally wrapped up this afternoon. I got my 900 point cover for that. Haven't started Foul Play yet. Probably gonna start on that tomorrow afternoon, and then I think Strange is after that.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is. Yeah, sorry, I was.
No,
I was giving you misinformation because I don't know how to read the script.
Yeah, that's the anniversary. The season there's a
there are season rewards.
Yes, was the season schedule. Strange was one of the 3-star rewards.
Okay.
Yes.
2100 gets you a Strange. 2800 gets you the anniversary 10 pack, which gets
remember. Yeah.
If you can get to 2800, Ian, you can get yourself a chance at a couple more Howard covers.
And the thing, the reason I threw in the Taskmaster thing, I don't think I've ever seen this before. First place in the anniversary season is the Taskmaster's sword support.
Ooh.
In addition to all the 10 packs.
Okay.
It makes sense. Because they have been giving out the Infinity Stones first place PvP prizes. So I guess for the anniversary season, it's the Taskmaster sword.
Oh, I am going to have to try. But yes, you are right. It looks like Taskmaster is going on, then Foul Play, then Deadpool, then Doctor Strange are all coming up in PvP. So I have to try hard, and I'll get some good stuff here in the anniversary. Anniversary 10 packs. I'm not going to get that high. That's okay. I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah. Placing that high in the season is that's way too much work.
Right.
I bust my rear end to hit 1,000 plus every event, and I have never gotten above. I got to a top 100 when I was back in the 3-star tier. But at this level, you even getting 1,000 every event, the best you're going to do is high 100s, low 200s.
I'll stick to my Deadpool dailies and then call tonight. All right, Ray, are you ready for what could be a exciting superhero showdown this week?
Do you think?
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be awesome.
Okay.
You should go first, but it'll be awesome. So this week in the superhero Marvel Battle Arena, I will be taking Marvel's Egghead up against his new nemesis, Sunspot.
I don't know that these two have ever come into the same comic before.
No.
And they probably never would. But, and I know nothing about my opponent, but I will tell you about Sunspot. So Sunspot is one of the new mutants. His power is all based around the sun. He can absorb solar energy, and it makes him strong. It makes him, well, depending on when the character's timeline we're talking about, his powers keep increasing, depending on who he's received training from. But it makes him like nigh invulnerable, makes him really super strong. Eventually he learns how to use the power to fly. And it has the, I think they're called the Kirby black spots, the Kirby dots around his character, right, that Kirby was famous for putting in the comics. This was one of the characters that I would see and go, wait, what is that? Like, it drew my attention. And so he's super strong. He can fly and he's pretty invulnerable, and he can shoot out beams of energy. Now, the only problem is he charges from the sun, and as he uses these powers, his energy depletes. But I think he's got a really good chance against somebody named Egghead, who has, as far as I can tell, a head the shape of an egg.
He does. He absolutely does. He, to the best of my knowledge, he is an largely independent villain. Occasionally, he's known for menacing Ant-Man, but and occasionally teams up with the Puppet Master and the Mad Thinker. So. And he is gifted with genius level intellect, and is a master of most fields of science. And to my understanding, there is no prep time equipment or things carried into this head to head battle other than yourself. So as soon as I enter the arena, I'm instantly destroyed by Sunspot, and I have no chance.
The only thing that I mean, you got to be a pretty creative comic book writer to get Egghead out on top, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I have nothing other than, you know, I'm obviously genius level intellect. If I have a lab, if I have resources, I can prepare myself for a battle with Sunspot and perhaps come out on top. But in this particular setting, I got to say, I'm getting smoked 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
With no real abilities to fall back on. I don't know.
Ian, you're thinking two-dimensionally.
Okay.
What you do, because you're a genius, is you know where to find the people that can time travel in the Marvel Universe, and you get them to come forward and drop off all the stuff you need to beat Sunspot.
I feel like, well, I don't know who all time travels, but I feel like I might not have access to all of them as a supervillain. I feel like I've been bested in the past by my greatest of all time master plan was I created a device so that I could communicate with ants in hopes of getting them to betray Ant-Man by luring him into a flytrap.
Nice.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
The only thing that I think that the only strategy I think you've got really going for you is the fact that Sunspot is extremely brash and arrogant. So if you could somehow manipulate, him emotionally, you might be able to pull something out.
I feel like someone who operates at this level of intellect doesn't have that much empathy.
Mm.
I'll leave it up to the listeners to vote, but I feel like I'm toast. Things are not coming out, Egghead.
I would also not put it past Egghead to figure out some way of destroying the sun before he went into the match. Because if this is Earth, the light from the sun has 8 minutes to get there. Whatever he can pull off in those 8 minutes.
and hope I waste all my power to begin with? Sure.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go. There's the match of the week. I don't know where we want to put this, though, but the results from last week. Last week it was Eel versus the Sentinels.
Yeah.
It was a clear, just complete avalanche win. The Sentinels scored an 85% of the vote, Eel only getting 15% of the vote. So I think the listeners have it. Sentinels win.
Looks like Sentinels are moving on to the Tournament of Champions. We'll see. We'll see how they fare against. Surely it'll be Egghead.
Grinch says he's voting for Egghead. Reason, he's smart.
All right. I don't know what comes after. Oh, it's news time. News time. Oh, my God. All right, everybody, brace yourselves. I'm reading the news this week. I didn't read the news ahead of time. I will try to cover everything I have on here and give you the important bits. Apparently, there have been some updates to the 5th anniversary. According to the forums, it has been extended from the 22nd until the 23rd. The ISO 8 is on sale, 30% bonus on all ISO 8 purchases from the 8th until the 14th. And see if there's anything else tagged as update. Nope, that's it. Everything else is the same as Craig told you the last time. Now I've got some 163 release notes are out. Ray, are you sitting down?
I, in fact, am sitting down.
Excellent. Your clue is, we hope you are enjoying Marvel Puzzle Quest's 5th anniversary.
I don't know. Yeah. Sounds like Cable.
That's probably going to be Cable. That's going to be my guess.
I have a theory.
Okay.
We have heard rumors for a long time that artwork and even some mechanics were developed for a 2-star Cyclops. So maybe we're finally getting that long-awaited new 2-star.
So here's what I'm thinking. Because they mentioned the 5-year anniversary. And as you know, the traditional gift for the 5th anniversary is wood. So it's a 5-star teenage Groot.
I like
because
it.
Because you can't get enough Groot gimmicks.
No.
In the Marvel Universe. So that's going to be my theory. Here's the changes they have made. The House Party Protocol tile is removed when Iron Man receives damage while a House Party Protocol tile is on the board. Lockjaw, his loyal protector, activates when matching a fortified friendly special tile. There are new support in the game, paired with everybody's favorite new character. The Taskmaster's sword is now available. It is a deadly blade. Perk 1. The supported character deals an extra 779 damage to heroes. Perk 3. The supported character's powers deal an additional 1,792 damage to enemies. Rank 5. At the start of your turn, there's a 31% chance to fortify a random friendly special tile. And when you stick this on the Taskmaster, when Taskmaster fires a power, he creates a strength 239 strike tile.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's a solid support that backs up some of his abilities.
Right.
But it's not going to be so overpowering that the 6 people that get their hands on it are going to suddenly become
right invincible.
Yeah.
Right.
And the one that amuses me deals extra damage to heroes. I'm trying to think of all the events where you actually run up against hero characters.
And yeah.
There's the simulator. There's Deadpool versus Marvel Puzzle Quest. And I don't
right.
get Prodigal Son, but we so rarely see Prodigal Son anymore.
Yeah. You're only using the support in PvE, so you're mostly going to be fighting thugs in the Dark Avengers.
That's a good point. Triake said Hearts of Darkness. That's a very good point. And Nova in the Guardians event.
Oh, yeah.
So there are going to be occasional uses for it, but it's going to be one of those very, very limited.
Right. Yeah, I didn't realize how restrictive that was, but that makes very, very good sense.
Yeah, it's the rank 1 power.
Right.
So it's going to be the most common and least affecting power. Okay.
All right. So, lastly, certainly not leastly, apparently there is a new event coming up. I hope most of you have taken the time to understand it, because I have not, and now I'm going to attempt to explain it to you.
Sorry.
Here's what I know so far.
I love how you brace everybody.
It's an alliance event. I see here that it's for 20 people. That makes sense. That's how many people go in an alliance. You get double ISO 8 for it. So here's my vague understanding of what happens. There are 3 nodes, tiers. I don't know what we're calling them. There's normal, there's hard, and there's deadly. And you can only join one per 24-hour cycle?
Correct.
Question mark?
I believe so.
Okay, and each one has its own set of rewards. So you have to manage your alliance in such a way to attempt to maximize the rewards from each node. And I don't know if is this through the whole event or is this per day?
I think everything is per day.
So it resets every day.
The individual reward table is for the entire weekend, I believe. And then the sub-chapter rewards, that's what you do collectively. The people that go in and play the deadly node are all combining for that day to hit that threshold.
Okay, so every day you have the chance of earning a Places of Power recruit token, 10 command points, and a latest legend token.
2, because there's going to be 2 nodes for each difficulty.
Oh, okay. So 2 recruit tokens, 20 command points, and two legendary tokens.
If your alliance can play their cards correctly and they have the roster strength to do it, you can walk away with a total of 8 legendary tokens from the sub rewards and something like 60 command points.
Snap, that's a lot of good stuff. What am I expecting to face in each node? I don't understand how it's structured. What kind of characters am I battling?
That's a really good question, and I don't think we know exactly what we're going to be facing.
Oh, it's so exciting!
I haven't seen it yet. But they did release, or at least it was being talked about in the Discord here, the levels. So, like in Deadly, in the article, it even says you can expect levels 200 through 370 as your opponents. So you're going
Normal it says expect levels 50 to 170.
Right.
Hard is levels 110 to 225 and Deadly 200 to 370 level opponents.
If you have a decent champ 5-star team, Deadly should not be a problem. If you have a really good boosted 4-star team, you should still be fine in Deadly, and you know we'll burn that bridge when we come to it, but there are certain characters that are boosted this week that should really have an impact on being able to play. Because the other thing that, and I had to confirm this with Anthony at Demiurge, every Alliance event they've done so far, you had a separate boosted list than the list that was boosted for that particular week.
Right.
That's not the case this time. What I'm going to go over in the Pump You Up segment is the exact same set of characters that are going to be boosted for this event.
Okay, great. That'll help streamline everything.
Yeah.
So we're sailing into uncharted waters, everybody. Puzzle Warriors, if you have any questions, ask Ray. I clearly don't know what to tell you. We played in Alliance events before. You guys all know about where you finish. Maybe try something based on that.
Direct
all questions to Chaos 72.
I think the way we're looking at it, I'm going to probably go to our Facebook page and post our rankings, like who you know is at the top of our alliance, and just try and divide it up from there. We've got like three or four people who should probably hit the easy, just because we need to get as many rewards as we can.
Yeah, I agree. I really think the only question left is who Valadius and I will team up with. I mean, I'm not proud, but anyway, this is exciting. I don't think I've run into anything quite like this in Marvel Puzzle Quest before, so I'm excited to see how it plays out.
I think that's exactly the reaction the devs are going for.
Great, thanks, Demiurge. So, this week in It's Always Sunny in Xandar, the Hulk. Making a mess all over the city.
Samurai, that's your cue.
Well, it may be sunny on Xandar, but on Sakaar, it's cloudy with a chance of pain. So this week, we're talking about Main Event Hulk. For those of you who are familiar with the events of the Planet Hulk comic story arc, it was adapted, of course, for use in Thor Ragnarok. Marvel got really clever, and they wrote a whole story basically removing Hulk before the events of Civil War started, because if Hulk had been around, there would have been serious problems, and it gave him a chance to tell a completely different story. You know, I'm not going to go into it, but we all know what happens. He winds up on Sakaar, and he's forced to be a gladiator, and he helps to lead a revolt against the big bad evil guy, and who's making him fight for amusement and profit. In the comics, it's Red King. In the movies, it's Grandmaster, which is a better choice because Jeff Goldblum absolutely killed that role. So you might remember me singing this character's praises a couple months ago when he was boosted. He's just as good at the normal power levels. He's one of those 4-stars that plays really well with the big boys. You can reliably run him through your transition and well into 5-star territory. I still run him when he's boosted and occasionally when he's not, because let's face it, he works perfectly with Gladiator Thor. I know some people are going to say who doesn't, but that was one of the best designed pairs of characters that they sort of released almost at the same time. The reason why he's so good is both of his really, really good abilities involve board shake. The 5-star tier puts a very heavy emphasis on match damage. So you want as much board shake as possible. His green ability just absolutely embodies this. The Grand Entrance, it's a passive. It destroys tiles at the start of the battle, and at the start of each turn, it swaps a pair of tiles. At your first cover, it starts with destroying four tiles, then it goes up to 5 to 6. And then at 4 and 5 covers, it's destroying 7 tiles right out of the gate. And at that 5th cover, it's also swapping 2 pairs of tiles. His purple power, Gamma Power Bomb. This is when Hulk forms a tag team with Sid Vicious and Big Van Vader, spends 14 purple AP, deals a whole bunch of damage, and creates a whole bunch of critical tiles. He starts at about 600 damage and creates 2 crit tiles. As his covers go up, he starts creating more and more critical crits until at 5 covers, he's creating 5 crit tiles. Then there's his yellow. The crowd goes wild. For 12 yellow, he creates some fortified countdown tiles, 3, 4, 5 fortified countdown tiles. When they go off, they either deal AoE damage, they give a burst of healing to Hulk, or they generate 2 random AP. The damage and the burst healing go up the more covers you have and more levels go up, but that 2 AP is always the same. So that factors very heavily into the way I run him. You know, I can see an argument in the 3 to 4 star transition and probably early into the 4 star tier to run him at 3, 5, 5. But once you have a 5 star, that match damage is how you clear your nodes. So you want that board shake. So you want him at 5, 5, 3. You also want that green maxed because you want to run Main Event Hulk, 4-star Rocket and Groot, and Thanos on the easy PvP or PvE node, excuse me, and see if you can win before you have to make a match. It's always fun to go, okay, here's my team. I start. Oh, okay, I won. Well, that was easy. So that's the weather report from Sakaar by way of Xandar.
Nice.
Yeah, that was shockingly informative. So that we have someone new doing that segment. All right. So here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail! Willie, what you got?
I'm curious if you can get Craig to do that every time. Probably yes. Never mind. The answer is yes. So in the mail, there were a ton of comments about Sentinel versus Eel. I put them all together. Just to sum everything up, Eel would get his butt kicked, Sentinels win for sure, even the version 2.0 dying in the Sun Sentinels. Think about how many times Storm shot lightning bolts at him to no avail. This is true. Also, Sentinel would make Unagi out of the Eel pretty quick, would simply fly into the air and rain down energy blasts. Good point. So, thanks everyone for your input. I don't know. I think that segment is pretty entertaining, and I hope everybody else does as well. First comment is from Cactus Jack.
Bang, bang.
Rest in peace, Okoye. You may have left the latest Legends, but you will forever be in our hearts. But don't worry, there's a new sheriff in town, and her name is Wasp. She may be a little less than stellar. leave it to Cactus Jack to state the obvious. Stink Palm. Stink Palm says apparently I left this in. He says, if the Eel isn't a mutant, then Sentinel's mutant protocols might not activate. Plus, there's the electricity, but wait a minute. He's just a dude in a suit. I forgot to put that in with the Sentinels. But in any case, Peggy Unisusicorn says, every time you say Invisible Woman was the first 4-star, I want to scream, Nick Fury! But I'm not sure that that's correct. I'm still thinking it's Invisible Woman. I still think it is, but...
What's that, the first 4-star?
The first 4-star, yeah.
I thought it was, too.
I agree with Grinch McSprockets. I'm pretty sure, yeah. X-Force was the first, because that's sure. The first 4-star reward cover that you get in your daily supply.
It's a good argument.
Seems logical.
All right. I assumed it was one of the two, but...
When did he turn into Grinch with Sprockets?
I assume he changes his name like 6 times an episode.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. This story has become tiresome. He disgusts me. You may not touch my monkey. Continue with the mail.
Hey, Jeff Duggan, who we will be talking to later. He says, now for the benefit of Ray, the Ace Bandage story. 2 weeks ago, homecoming at the school where he teaches, one of the local churches hosted a knockerball tournament, and he managed to persuade the building administrators to shorten a class day in order to let the kids try it out. It turned out there was enough time to run staff versus students. Competing staff versus students, sure. He says that he's always an enthusiastic idiot. It was inevitable. Some of the students had fun ignoring the question of trying to score and instead working on knocking their teachers over because they could get away with it during the game. So knocked down from behind by somebody from one of his classes, that much was one really good, except he landed right on the inside of his knee. Limp did not keep him from participating in the volleyball game the next day. So there you go. There was the ace bandage story. I found it amusing because who would do staff versus students? That's just dangerous, man.
Somebody that wasn't going to participate that wanted to see their fellow staff members get taken down a notch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Jaden Call said, "Ha, just got the support joke." I'm not even sure what the joke was, but okay. The support joke, the support group joke. I don't know. The ongoing joke, maybe?
I don't know. It's not a very funny show, so not getting a joke is not hard.
He also says, I use the Camellia beads with 4-star Gamora, but I'm sure they'd be pretty great on Iceman as well. They're one of my few 3-star supports. It's interesting. Again, the fact that they're, you know, out of the movie, always think about the characters from the movie, not where else you can use them. So try them out. Let us know. Big Smooth says that he gives the Kamoyo beads to Jessica Jones. It increases her blue match damage. Critical multiplier is great for Jessica. She also makes strike tiles, which can get buffed by the support. And the yellow AP doesn't help her, but it can help a lot of her common teammates, like Okoye or Thor. So, okay.
Is that a first-time commenter?
I don't know. I've seen him on the D3 forum previously, so...
Okay. I feel like if it had... Because it immediately made me giggle, and I feel like had it been prior to this, I definitely would have said, how you living, Biggie Smooth, and Mansion and Benz's? Give it ends to your friends because it feels stupendous? Tremendous? No. No, 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 Biggie?
No, sorry.
Thanks, Craig. I knew he was out there somewhere.
Craig said, ha! Okay. in any case, it was a small mailbag this week, so that's all Lumpy had. But hey, thanks, Lumpy.
Right. Well done, sir. All right. Brace yourself, everybody. You ready, Samurai?
I'm ready.
I am Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we're I didn't even do it from the get-go! I choked. Why don't you lead? I'm more of a follower anyway.
So I am Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just want to pump. You up.
You up. All right. At least it was a rookie clap after I botched that. But why don't you take over? I'm going to go look at Discord some more.
All right. So, well, before you get distracted, Ian, there are so many good boosted characters this week. Would you say we have a plethora of good boosted characters?
Do you know what a plethora is?
All right.
That was an underrated film.
So I'll skip the 1-stars. That's pretty straightforward. I do want to say one specific thing about the 2-stars. Wolverine is boosted. He is always good for the 2 to 3-star transition crowd. It's always good for them to have a tank that's boosted. I fondly remember the days of the prologue, scumming the first prologue node to heal him back up and getting the 20 ISO off of it. In the 3-star tier, oh boy, we've got some fun stuff here. 3-star Deadpool. The boost is really, really going to help his red because it's a nice cheap power. The problem is it always has a very low ceiling of max damage it can deal. Once you get past a certain difficulty, I remember they boosted the health of just about every character about 3 years ago. And when they all had a lot lower health, I think this ability was a little more effective. The boost probably brings it back in line to where it was going to be.
Mm.
It's also going to help his whales. It's going to help his jump in front of damage ability. So he's going to be really effective for people early to mid 3-star tier. Hawkeye, his purple is going to benefit pretty well. He's going to get some buff strike tiles and do a little more damage. It's going to help out some of his arrows. Explosive, sonic, acid. It's going to boost the damage in the special tiles. If you get to the point where you have to fire out of arrows, it's going to help out a fair bit. And his black is going to see a little bit... His true heal is going to get a little bit bigger. But it's also going to make the enemy special tiles a little bit better. So have a plan to deal with those. Kamala Khan, always a good thing, especially for this event we're going into. She has a team burst heal and an AoE. She'll really help out the 3-star players to tank. Pair her with some cheap powers. 3-star Deadpool's a good choice for that. Hawkeye's Blue is also a good choice for that. 3-star Thor, you all know what he does. He's going to do more damage. He's always good for some board shake. You know, he is what he is. He's always one of the best characters for his tier. If you got him, run him. But the entire 3-star tier is kind of irrelevant because, oh my god, Thanos is boosted! So in the PvE that comes after the event, when he gets boosted, it is always an absolute frenzy in the middle clearance levels because people start clearing out their easy nodes faster. So if you're at clearance level 4, 5, 6 and you're trying to be aggressive with your placement, keep that in mind. Beyond his black, I think it's going to make his purple a lot more useful, especially if I don't remember if increasing his match damage leapfrogs base damage or not, but the level increase will definitely make him leapfrog most of your roster. 3-star Thanos' purple is always problematic because if he's not tanking that color, that power doesn't do much for you. That's why my 3-star Thanos is 5-3-5 for when he shows up in the Deadpool daily. So you might want to try playing around with that. So now we go on to the 4-star tier. I'm going to start with Iron Spider because I don't think we've had a chance to really take a look at him in any particular form. He's a very new 4-star, which can be problematic for building a team around him, which I'll get into in a minute. This guy is the mother of all web tile spammers. He's not totally useless outside of teams built around web tiles, but you're probably going to find better options. I mean, he can at least stand on his own, which is something that Gwen and Miles have had a little bit of trouble with, but build a web tile team around him. You can use Gwen, you can use Miles, you can use 1-star Vet. Oh, wait. So his blue is his bread and butter. When he makes a match, he creates 1-2 web tiles. The web tiles reduce damage from enemy powers. And when an enemy power deals damage, it removes half of the web tiles. It's okay. You're going to create a lot more web tiles. His green for 7 will turn several random tiles into web tiles. Now, his red is his offensive ability. For a mere 10, he's going to deal a chunk of damage plus damage based on the number of red, green, and blue web tiles you have on the board. That's going to be the big power that's affected by the boost, but it's going to be worth it because he's going to create a lot of web tiles. There are two build options for him. You can either dump his blue or you can split it 4-4. You want the max red. That's going to be this team's wave motion gun. The thing is, at 4 blue covers, he starts making 2 web tiles instead of 1 on his matches. The difference between 4 and 5 green covers is only 1 extra web tile when you fire it. Because his blue is going to be the more effective means of making web tiles, I have him set at 4. I think I have him set at 4-4-5 at the moment. I might have changed him for something else. If you run him with Gwen and Miles, when he's not boosted, you do run the risk of masking red. With him boosted, I don't think it should be a problem. The only thing is, your veteran players are probably going to have Gwen and Miles and even Vulture at much higher levels. He's only been out for a little while, so we haven't had a chance to build up the covers. There is a very small chance that one of them might mask one of his abilities. If you've got him champed and he's boosted and they're not, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I'll talk a little bit more about my recommended teams once I'm done going through the list, but this is a chance for him to shine. Iron Spider plus Gwen plus Miles, you get all the tiles in the world, you get tanking, you get AP, it's insane. America.
Not to interrupt, but man, that was a really in-depth Spider-Man.
I'll be honest, I you know, with some of the newer ones, we haven't really had a chance to take a good look at them.
Sure.
And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. There's another one coming up that we've got the same issue with. So America, you know, as we had this discussion earlier, and the infographic is a little bit wrong, but multiple people pointed out to me, she doesn't increase her base damage. Her red does not increase her base damage. It just increases the match damage. So that can be a problem if you're running characters that are going to mask the color she matches.
Hmm.
If you're running her at the four, like if you're running her with a team of unboosted fours, it won't be a problem. Her red's going to be amazing. Her yellow, the trap tiles she makes from all those match fours, they're going to get bigger. If you get the three different color traps and it goes off, boosted enchant, you're looking at about 11,000 damage. That's always nice from a passive. Her green bonus damage is going to get a little bit of a bump, but honestly, that damage is secondary. Biggest thing with America is crit tile creation. You know, team her up with unboosted 4-star main event Hulk, and that board shake is going to help you with your AP acceleration, because she really does need AP acceleration to make sure that you're getting the full advantage of that crit tile being created every turn. Moon Knight, you know, he's straightforward. His black and his green are going to pack an absolute wallop. They'll deal more damage. His black is going to have a little bit better true healing. That green is going to do 20, boosted enchant is going to do 26,000 plus. It pays to time it well. You want to make sure you fire it off when there's nobody on the board with low health. Because if you've been working on the first guy and you get him down somewhere, you want to take him out, preferably with his black, before you fire off the green, because you don't want to waste the giant chunk of damage. For those of you curious about his purple, it's a weird ability. If you see the bird face, you're going to get attack tiles when you match black. If you see the suit of armor, you're going to get extra damage when you match purple. If you see the suit and tie, you're going to get strike tiles for matching green. They're all going to be a little bit better, but the purple ability is it's kind of like his appendix. It's there. I think it does something. You're going to be focusing on his black and green. Rogue is mercifully boosted for the first time since the Gambit nerf. So 5-star PvP land is going to you know, not cringe at the sight of her. She's called a rogue. I think she's closer to a rage barbarian. She's a tank with a nuke you have to work for. The payoff is really worth it. That green, it targets your strongest color. It basically nerfs the damage and the AP generation. When they match, you're getting double AP, you're getting triple damage. When she is boosted, if you've got max covers on green and you've got her champed, if you've got that 14 of that AP when you start the turn, she's going to burn it and deal 27,000 plus. That is that is basically a, you don't exist anymore, next. Her red is going to deal a little bit more damage. It's kind of underwhelming. You're going to find better options in red. Her board shake is the exact same whether you have one cover or five. Her boosted health and her is going to pair well with her yellow ability. She takes 25% less damage from everything for each teammate that's still up, and of course she jumps in front if they make a match in red, green, or yellow. She's tankier. She's going to be a good option if you're going into some of these deadly nodes. She's going to help you survive. Now, Donkey Teeth, you're absolutely right. You can't plan for random, but you can minimize you can try to do things to minimize the variation. Oh, and of course there's one other guy who's boosted. It's Rocket and Groot. Because we're going into an event, we don't know. Guess what? We've got big strike tiles! Yeah, his blue repeater is going to deal some more damage. It's going to create bigger attack tiles. His green is going to deal more damage when the bomb goes off. You don't care about that. It's all about the strike tiles. A lot of you are going to pair it up with Gamora. Because his strike tiles get boosted, when you've got another Guardian of the Galaxy, you're looking at 7 tiles of 571 strength. So what you're effectively doing is, if you're running in with a champ boosted Rocket Groot and you've got a Guardian teammate, you're going to start the match dealing an extra 4,000 every time you deal damage. The average 4-star character at level 300 has somewhere between 16 to 20k health, maybe 22 to 24 if they're a particularly beefy character like a Hulk or a Thing. If they're boosted, they're going to have somewhere between 25,000 and 40,000. What you're basically saying is, I can take you down in at most 10 turns. Now, you're going to lose a little bit of that damage as things get matched, but that starting boost, and those of you in 4-star land who've been on the receiving end of it, or you've been on the dealing end of it, you know the deal. It's going to be crazy.
Sounds like a really violent game of Name That Tune.
Yeah.
I could take you out in 8 turns.
And like I said, in some of those nodes where you can run Thanos, Rocket, and Groot, and Main Event Hulk, you can do it in 0 if you get just the right board set up. So that list is going to carry over for the event. Like we were talking about earlier, a lot of times these events, because they have specific bosses, you tend to see the same set of characters boosted over and over again. Your Black Widows, your Wolverine, your Thor, your Hawkeye, the ones that have characters at pretty much every tier now. We're going to be using that exact same list. It's a solid list. You've got a good setup. I want to go over the essentials for this event real quick. 5-star Thanos, no explanation necessary. Be prepared to spend a lot of health packs. 4-star Nebula. This one concerns me a little because she was a victim of really bad timing. You know, we've been hearing week after week after week, Craig has been biting his fingernails off, waiting for a chance to actually start opening tokens and get Dazzler. But Nebula also got caught up in that super long off season. And it was almost 6 weeks before she got a chance to get into tokens. So nobody's really had that much of a chance to play with her. But she is all about some damage and some strike tiles. Her red damage isn't particularly good, but she can make a lot of strike tiles with that red. And if you've got her green at a decent level and she's got enough strike tiles, the AoE that her green fires has a higher ceiling than Iceman. So it could be a world beater in this event. The 3-star essential is going to be Black Widow. We all know her sniper rifle AoE. Her red pistol is going to get a little bit better. She'll be solid. She's also got there's a lot of purple to green in this go around. So, and then it's unfortunate because some of them would work really well together, except there's just so much color overall. Oh, and a 2-star Moonstone is boosted, so she's got more health. That'll cut down on the health packs when you drop Thanos in and destroy everybody. So for my recommendations for this week, I've got a bunch of different ones just because there's so many different events that are going on. For those of you in 3-star land, the Deadpool PvP, like I said, Kamala is going to be really useful. His red is cheap. It'll trigger her team heal. It'll help you stay alive in a lot of those matches. When the Doctor Strange PvP comes around, America is going to be really, really valuable for even into the 5-star players because she gets around his pesky habit of eating crackers in bed. For this PvE, as I said earlier, try Iron Spider with Miles Morales. I favor Miles over Gwen because he generates AP. I don't think health will be as much of a problem. You can also experiment with pulling out Gwen as the third team member, putting in Vulture. He won't create web tiles, but he gives you really good special tile removal, and he gives you the AP acceleration to fuel both Iron Spider's green and his red. And also, for the Nebula essential, she's going to make a lot of strike tiles. Try her out with Nico Minoru. Nico is very under the radar, and she also works really well with Rocket and Groot too. Once you can, if you can establish a special tile superiority very quickly, she is an excellent buff.
I don't know if anybody else caught your eating crackers in bed reference, but I thought it was pretty good. Saltines, Flames of the Faltine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I was, I offered a league mate, Quincy Inouye, and Alfred Morris for Brandon Cooks. I went to read about the support section. I came back and he was still talking about Iron Spider. So, holy Jesus.
You will get,
we are well into next week's show, Samurai.
you get no sympathy from me. I am just about ready to burn my league to the ground. I have declared a vendetta against Leonard 1.5 net. It's not as bad as the year somebody in our league drafted as his first and second round picks Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice, and then lost them both for the year after the first week.
Sorry, that's funny.
That was his last year in the league. I think he gave up the sport after that. I think gave up fantasy football after that. But
that is fair.
So yeah, that is the boosted list brought to you by Mystify, courtesy of Samurai.
Thanks. All right. Let's kick this into high gear, Ray.
All right.
I don't even know where we are or what happens. Support. Welcome to the supports and support section featuring Ray and myself. Go for it.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ray.
Hi, Ray.
This in-game support for this week is something that I've been using and didn't even realize was making my life a little easier. The Milano, the modified M-ship. This is the Guardians of the Galaxy ship. Let me tell you why it's way more useful than you think it is. Rank number one, when the supported character fires a power, 10% chance to create a purple strike tile strength 16. That goes up to strength 166 with a 60% chance at maximum level. That strike tile is, it's okay. You know, extra strike tiles, that's nice. Rank two, base green match damage is increased by 13, goes all the way up to 132 damage at max level. All right. And rank 3, start of the battle, there's an 8% chance to gain 3 black AP. Now, this is useful for Gamora, but like we just suggested, using Gamora with Rock and Groot all the time. So to me, it seems like it would work for either one of them. That chance goes up to 70% at maximum level. At the start of the battle with rank 4, there's an 8% chance to gain 3 purple AP, and that chance goes up to 75% at maximum level. As I've always said, more AP from your support, that's a winner every time. Rank 5, supported characters, base yellow match damage increased by 18, that goes up to 184 at max level. So really, pretty useful for your Star-Lord with the yellow match damage, but I don't have it at rank 5, so that doesn't bother me so much. But it does have a special. At the start of the battle, you create a 3-turn countdown tile that deals 179 damage for each Guardians of the Galaxy on the team. That goes up to 1,882 damage at max level. Now, this is why it's way more useful than I thought it would be, because like we say, with Rock and Groot, you start the battle, you get all those strike tiles. At round 3, this goes off and does an extra amount of damage that is added to all that strike tile damage. So it's an extra 4,000 damage out of nowhere that I never count on and always surprises me in a very good way. So I use Rock and Groot and Gamora on the required character node in the Daily Deadpool pretty much every day. They really don't get hurt. They take things out really quick, and the Milano just allows you to get an extra turn's worth of damage without any effort. So I really recommend putting the Milano on those two and you know, using them wherever you happen to use them. It just is a little bit more damage, a little bit more AP for them that it goes a long way with that team. So there you go. That's the in-game support, the Milano. Hey, Ian. Do you have something to share with the group?
Well, first, I also need to follow up that what starts with and ends with O? Oh, Milano. and then I will tell you about an exciting out-of-game support. Let's talk about cantilevers. So, when you are used to be building a bridge and you wanted it to be unsafe, you used cantilevers. A cantilever is like a beam or a plate or any sort of like rigid element that you're going to have in your structure that is anchored at one end and then support. Then it just shoots out to offer support on the other end by anchoring to nothing. So as long as you can rely on the one end remaining anchored, a cantilever will keep your bridge supported. It carries it helps to do some load bearing where it prevents against, you know, momentum and the sheer stress when you're going across the bridge. Or it doesn't have to be a bridge, it's just most famously used in bridges. I'm not gonna talk about it anymore.
That's it. Okay.
We can trim cantilevers, can't we? We can. Yes, we can't. No. So that's a cantilever, and we're going to go on to the opening of the tokens.
I had no idea what you were talking about at first, so I learned something today.
There you go. You learned something about cantilevers.
Ian, have you ever been up to falling water?
No, I've always wanted to be. And then I went to the website and like one of the first paragraphs on the website, it says, Ian, you have a small child. You're not welcome here until he's 8 or older.
Yeah, that is a big problem. We, on a couple of family trips, we basically, my mother had to go take me somewhere else while dad went through it. Cause you know, he's an architect. He loves Frank Lloyd Wright's. I mean, that's what he cut his teeth on was that school of design. But, Falling Water is one of probably the most famous examples of a residential cantilever. And
right in actually, that balcony that they have.
Right. And that's actually a serious problem right now because they've spent decades trying to shore it up because as originally designed, it was unsustainable. The engineer went behind his back and made some changes and that's still not enough. So like I said in the chat, I'll keep the bulk of my 2,500 word essay on the rebuttal of the overuse of the cantilever until the Reddit thread.
Right, and that's reasonable. I figured if there's someone who enjoys a good architectural support, it's UNC Samurai. But no, I've always wanted to go to Falling Waters, and I as soon as I can either do that independent of my wife and child or old enough that he can join us. That's an absolute trip I want to take. That and over up in the Yukon Territory into Alaska, there is a famous rail line, the White Pass Rail Line. It contains the world's largest cantilever bridge. It's not in use anymore because they're structurally just not safe. But I would like to see that as well as far as cantilevers are concerned.
So there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There are people listening to us right now are like, I can't even a lever.
So that's been support. It's brought to you by
Fortify.
All right. Thanks, Discord Fortify. Discord was going nuts. They thought we had left that out. So they were still talking about cantilevers. I mean, right. Anyway.
We're okay. Let's open some tokens.
Okay.
Brought to you by this guy.
The OG.
Thanks, this guy. Let's do it. Let's see. I gotta get some poking going on.
Let me start opening mine. So
okay, I'm gonna go straight for this.
I'm gonna blitz through my opening of 27 while you all do yours, and then I'll finish.
All right, I will dilly, rake, and dally, and then you can do your favorites and your summary. I'm gonna twizzle Kitty in the ear here, little shinchi shinchi. 5-star. She likes the shinchi shinchi.
Nice.
Yes. Wah. Sting operation.
Is that a shishi or shinshi?
I don't think so. So there, I got a 5-star. Nothing I can use. It's very mockable, but I'm still excited to have gotten a 5-star. Ooh, I already have some. Let's see if I can have some more. That takes Wasp up to a 110.
Yeah, my sad story for the week was that I spent all but one of my tokens trying to get more Okoye, and I ended up getting more Wasp, so...
Are you ready to use your last token?
I am the final token, which I have no chance of a Okoye, so but you know,
okay.
It is a 4-star. It is a 4-star like unto iron, Mr. Iron Fist, with a bonus girl's best friend, Emma Frost.
Oh, I've heard of her.
Yeah. So that takes my Emma Frost up to a 5-4-3, so she's getting really close. And Iron Fist is at level 294 now. So I'll take the bonus. I'm not going to complain since I got a bonus.
Yeah, can't complain about a bonus.
Yeah. All right, that is it. That is all the dally I got.
All right.
I had to open a second route because out of all those tokens, I got 4 more tokens. It gives me another one. So, the important stuff, out of 32 tokens, I got 3 Dazzler covers, including 2 black. So, that is going to take her to a 244.
Ooh.
That's incredibly respectable.
Yeah.
And I got 6 5-star tokens. I got a Wasp black, a Wasp yellow... I got a Loki purple, a Loki black, which is good because I did not have him. I had a 330 Loki. That really helps. And I got 2 Kitty Pryde purple. That's going to bring her to 0-2-1. So she is coming along nicely. Tripped a shield level. So I hit 150. So I'm going to have even more ISO that I can't spend. And now for my 4, fan favorites tokens. Here we go. Big money, big money, big money. No wins. And 4-star. Cloak and Dagger.
No.
4-star. Main Event Hulk. 4-star. America.
Ooh, Puerto Vallarta. Good.
And another Shuri, which is good because I think that might get me close to... Okay, no. She's at 297. I still have a couple covers to go before I get another Okoye bonus. But that was incredibly useful. That was...
All right, 3,000 and a spin.
Good yeah. I don't quite have the formula memorized yet.
Well, that was the opening of the tokens brought to you by this guy. Thanks, this guy.
All right.
Is this the part where I kick the script over to myself?
Well, no, not quite, because this is actually the part where hopefully he's still on and listening, that we reserved a little bit of time for Jeff Duggan to come on board and give us some information. Jeff, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome.
I've got two things I want a bit of a chance to plug tonight, just because they're both kind of time sensitive, but I also think that at least some people who are into MPQ in this show might be interested in them. First. If you hang around the Discord server, you might have seen me mention I make Sentinels of the Multiverse, usually in the off-topic champ. There's a fabulous adaptation of this game from cardboard to digital, mobile and Steam, that's done by a company called Handelabra Games, and next week marks the 4th anniversary of the digital version. They've announced they're going to be doing a big old sale on a whole bunch of live guests over the course of the week. They have not yet announced this year's sale prices, but in the past, they've done the core game at 70% off on Steam and at 99% on mobile devices, along with discounts on expansions and soundtracks. And the music for this game is actually really well done, with a lot of variety, just because of the sheer amount of variety to the stuff. There is a connection between these two things, because the current version of Sentinels of the Multiverse is published by a company called Greater Than Games. They are also the publisher of Spirit Island, which at least in my opinion is one of the two best board games of the last 2 years. Spirit Island's a cooperative game where you and the other players are trying to destroy the invaders who are coming to settle your island, and it's sometimes shorthanded as an anti-Catan. This coming Tuesday, they are launching a Kickstarter campaign for a new expansion to the game, the first since its original retail launch in 2017. As part of that, I'm going to be using Tabletop Simulator to run a bunch of learn-to-play events over the course of the next not-quite-week. Those are going to be coming Saturday, October 13th, starting at 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time, Sunday, October 14th, starting as close as I can make it to 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Tuesday, October 16th, which is the day the Kickstarter launches, starting at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time, which is the same time that the Kickstarter launches. And then Wednesday, October 17th, planning to start it at 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time. So if tabletop gaming is your kind of a thing, hop on by one of those.
Cool.
That was it.
Awesome. Wanted to throw out a thanks for Jeff because he supports this this Discord channel that we record on and supports the MPQ community a lot. So, hey, thanks, Jeff.
You guys are welcome. I enjoy doing it.
Okay.
All right. Hey-o. All right, here we go. We're going to wrap this up. Lightning speed. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for semi-bearing with us on this Craigless episode. If you want to check us out, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, so many other places that it's available. You can also send comments and suggestions to us via the website, via Twitter, via email, via Facebook, or all those legitimate sites.
Yeah.
Right. I had some free time during the show. I think I taught myself how to use Instagram. I don't think we're available on Snapchat yet, but we'll get there.
No.
It's hard to navigate. I tried to learn that too, but just makes no sense to me. I don't like how it's set up. Anyway, we have an Amazon banner on the page. If you click it and buy your stuff there, you can give us money instead of charities like the Wounded Warrior Project and other things that Amazon actually wants you to support. So there's an opportunity to give us money there, or you could go to Patreon and throw money at us that way too. We have lots of fantastic patrons that support this show every week. Or you could head on over to cafepress.com/puzzlewarriors3 and order yourself some pre-Black Friday shopping and get lots of Puzzle Warrior swag. Anybody else have anything on our way out the door? Excellent.
I think I'm good.
Like to hear. Contented silence.
I'm just happy to, thanks so much for bringing me on. It's
yeah, thanks
fun
for,
to,
being able to fill in on semi-short notice. It was it really worked out well, and despite the duration, you definitely add an element of knowledge and actual, like, there was actual elements of gameplay discussion. Like, that never happens. I feel like that's refreshing for a lot of people. You remind them that this was originally based around Marvel Puzzle Quest, the game. So thanks to Samurai, and thanks to everybody listening. Oh no, I forgot to come up with a pun or a clue for next week.
That's okay, so did Greg.
Oh, man. So goodbye for now, and remember, kids, Craig will be back next week. you can't even give you a clue on the...
I don't even know how you could do a clue. It's team versus team. It's way too much.
Yeah, it's two massive... next week's battle will be the most exciting one yet. Goodbye, friends.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Samurai, think of a sign-off. I need you to end the show.
See you on Discord next week.
Yes!